You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I Hate Dating, where we try and take the world of dating and make it suck just a little bit less. As always, I'm joined by my illustrious co-hosts, Paul and Stacy. Stacy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. And Paul, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Now, also today, we have a special guest with us. We have Cara with us. Cara, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, y'all may remember Cara. She is the esthetician that was featured on our show a couple weeks back. So if you haven't had a chance to go listen to that episode, she was there. She does fantastic work from what I hear. So
thank you.
Yeah, and I can also attest that, you know, she's very, has very shining complexion right now, so she's doing really well.
She does.
She does, right? She's beaming. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. So let's start jumping
like
to our first
show.
Saved. So let's jump to our first story on that note. I need some honest feedback. For quite some time, I have felt that I have no place dating because I feel like I have nothing to offer another person. I'm an average-looking woman in her early 30s, overweight and under average height, 5'1". When dealing with online dating, men tell me that I have beautiful eyes or a killer smile, but never interact beyond their initial remark. As depressing as I am physically, my background is utterly humiliating. I am a two-time college failure with a degree in Spanish that I never used and 9 credits short of another useless degree in IT. Yeah. I was pulled out of student teaching 8 years because I lacked the skill to be a teacher and was told to find a career better suited to my skills, whatever those may be. 18 to 20-year-old me was an utter fool and racked up $65,000 in private student loan debt for the first degree. And 28 to 32-year-old me was even more stupid by racking up nearly $40,000 in federal student loan debt.
Yeah.
To cut down on costs, I moved in with my mother, helping her around the house and with her mortgage. The cost of living is ridiculous where I live. If I tried living on my own, my entire paycheck would go to the housing costs. I stick to a moderately strict budget and have curtailed nearly all of my excess spending. In addition to the ridiculous amount of debt, I haven't been in a relationship in over 6 years, nor have I been physical with anyone since I am fairly conservative in my beliefs about sex. My efforts to pay down my debts have only been modest, so I'm looking to start another job to help pick up the pace. At the rate I'm going, it would be many more years before my debt is at a more manageable level. Is it foolish to try and consider dating anyone, or should I relegate myself to staying single for as long as I have debt? Have any of you been in a similar situation? What did you do? Stacey, let's start with you on this one.
I feel like this is a question you should be handling, Mr. Financial Expert.
Absolutely.
So for all of you guys out there that don't know, like, Irvin is like a real financial expert. So check out newmoneydetroit.com if you need some help. A little shameless plug there.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So yeah, I'm really, you know, curious to get your feedback on this particular one.
Sure.
You guys all know that I'm a huge advocate of taking care of yourself first.
Absolutely.
And so if you are not feeling, you know, confident enough to put yourself out there in terms of dating because of everything that you have going on, you need to handle all of those things first. Mm-hmm. You know, someone told me a long time ago, you cannot be anyone's wife until you have your own life.
Oh, wow.
And
that's good.
That means taking care of yourself first and making sure that you're healthy enough physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, and everything else before you put yourself in a situation that could backfire. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you're not stable enough all the way around, you are prone to putting yourself in positions that could damage and hurt you later. So I would encourage her to really focus on getting herself together. Mm-hmm. She mentioned she was overweight, right?
You're right.
Okay, so let's focus on your health. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you have all of this student, you know, loan debt and that you are working another job to help, you know, pay that off. But you've, you know, admitted yourself, you could be doing better.
Absolutely.
So get a financial coach like Irvin. and, you know, really take it seriously. So, you know, I'm not saying you can't date if you have debt. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, millions of us have debt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't feel like you are at a place that you are healthy enough to be in any type of relationship or be dating, then you need to focus on taking care of yourself first.
Absolutely.
So that would be my advice, is to focus on you right now. And once you are in a healthier place, go ahead and put yourself out there, because you're going to have more confidence to go out there and, you know, ultimately find someone that you want to be with long term.
Excellently said. I couldn't say it by myself. Paul, what's your word on this one?
I agree with Stacy. She snatched up all the low-hanging fruit on this one.
Sorry, Paul.
But one thing I will say, if you could just run back to in the text to the actual question that she's asking, which is, What is the actual question that she wanted an answer for?
The actual question that she has, is it foolish to try to consider dating anyone, or should I relegate myself to staying single for as long as I have debt?
Excellent. Okay. So, and that's why I thought of her. So, yes, it is foolish to start dating, but probably not for the reason that you're thinking. You're thinking that because I have this mountain of debt, I shouldn't even consider trying to meet someone. That's not why it's foolish for you to start dating. It is foolish for you to start dating because you don't even like yourself. Therefore, who the hell's going to like you? You think that you don't think anything of yourself. I can't.
Come on.
I can't imagine why somebody else would want to involve themselves with someone who thinks so low of themselves. So like Stacey said, you do have a lot of work to do on yourself. And starting at the way you feel about yourself, it sounds like you don't even love yourself. So that's step number one. It's not because you have debt. It's because of the outlook that you have on yourself as a person. You've attacked yourself from so many different ways that there's really nothing for anyone who hates you to do. They just have to let, you know what? You said it. You got me.
you beat us to the punch.
You killed my game. You pulled the M&M and 8 Mile. So this is what we need to do. Step number one. Let's find some of the things that we like about ourselves. Let's think about some things that we need to work on for ourselves and start to do the self-improvement thing. And Stacey touched on that a moment ago. So your mountain of debt, that's debt. That doesn't keep you from a happy life. There's things that you need to work on. You need to prioritize, put everything in a line, and then start to work on the things that you want to work on. If you're not happy about your weight, let's put that into an action plan and start working on your weight. If you're not happy about your debt, let's put that into an action plan. You're taking these second jobs where you have two jobs and you have $100,000 of student debt. Let's make sure that some of these jobs that you have are at least in one of these fields that you've invested in. Mm-hmm. Absolutely take on a financial coach so that you can get serious about working on yourself rather than being in the slump where it's like, oh, woe is me. I'm bad in this. I'm bad at that. I don't look this. I don't look that. You're beating on yourself to the point where you can't even lift yourself up.
Awesome. Now, Kara, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I would go back to what Stacey was saying, just focusing on yourself and focusing on your health, because it does sound like she has some self-esteem issues. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely focus on just living your best life and getting yourself together, just mental health,
absolutely,
health, you know, try working out and eating right and doing all those good things and just, you know, finding things that make you happy inside.
Excellent. And I guess to add on to that, because I agree with everything you guys said.
Get the financial coaching.
Financial aspect.
Preach no to us pressure. This money.
All right. So basically, my thought would be this.
The Book of Washington.
My belief is that if you're going to go through this challenge and you're going to take this on, I actually, once you handle the weight issue and the self-esteem issue, I think this is actually the perfect time to date somebody. Because I think now if you can find someone willing to walk with you through this, mm-hmm, as you're like, look, you know what? We can't go out to these really nice, fancy places. Listen, I don't need you to take me to a $300 dinner. They'll take me to work. You know, show up to my job and let's go on a picnic. Show me that you can be there through the lean times. And then I think that'll build a better foundation for a relationship down the road. And I also think if you get cheetah intense about this debt, $100,000 is a... It's hefty.
Yes, without a house.
Yeah, I wish I'd met you sooner, but you know, I wish we could have worked on something beforehand. But from where you are now, it's not impossible. This is a place where you can still dig out and you can still get there, but you just have to be intense about it and just make. And if you find a person now, and you can, I think there are dating places out there that says, look, people who are dating in debt, like, you know, they
have a site for that.
Yeah, they have sites for that.
People dating, are like, look, debt?
Dating in debt.
Like, love it.
We both are. Or she can go to sugar daddy.
Or
sugar daddies is kind of, you know, look, if you're gonna be Bigums, though, you gotta love yourself, you can't be going.
That is how
a category.
There is. That's a category. But what I'm saying, nobody wants a depressed Bigums.
That's
true. They want Bigums with the personality and confidence. Absolutely.
Can I ask? Yeah, please.
There's one other thing I wanted to kind of say and address. Energy. Mm-hmm. You are such negative energy. The only thing that you are going to attract to your life is more negative energy. You have to change the tone of how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your life, how you feel about where you are in this world, in your place in this world. So address that, because you cannot move forward. Even if you get the financial coach, even if you start working two or three jobs, if you still have in your head that I am down here, that's where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. You're only going to be where your mind is set to be. So the first change that needs to occur before you lose any weight, before you make any more money, before you change anything, is your mind. Put your mind in an elevated place.
Awesome. And understand that putting your mind in an elevated place made up of something you can do on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, this like the more things
might be necessary.
Absolutely, right? Like, you know, you didn't the level of mind that you had to get here is not necessarily gonna propel you past here. So an injection of outside information or outside help might be just what you need to kind of kick start you into this. Because you have a long road ahead of you. It's not an impossible road, but a long road. But when you get to the other side of this, you're gonna be just an amazing warrior of life.
Yes.
And if you can find someone to be that warrior with you, I think that'd be an awesome thing. Because what the one thing really would suck. You go through all this, get through your $100,000 debt, and then meet somebody and they have 85. Now you got to start on their thing.
Oh,
if you can find someone, you both work on it and you both come out of the tunnel at the other end at the same time.
Yes.
You're both now phoenixes. And now, what's the plural for phoenix? Yeah, phoenixes. We'll say that.
Phoenicians.
Phoenicians. So at this point, you can both rise together and do something amazing, have a fantastic life. So yeah. So I would say find some mental therapy that you can get into. And then find, like, it's called Financial Peace. It's given by Dave Ramsey. They're usually given in churches and things of that nature. You can go to the website and find it. And they'll enroll you in a class and they'll show you how to get out of debt. And they'll walk you through the process of rebuilding both your kind of spiritual home and your financial home.
And you know, you got great eyes and a great smile. Stacy said the sugar daddy route. I need you to believe in your eyes and your smile, because them daddies is out there and they full of sugar.
If we could not refer people to getting pimped out, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, let me put this disclaimer out there.
Sweets to the sweet.
she's logging onto it right now.
Well, she wouldn't be getting pimped out.
True. No, the daddies is getting pimped out.
But that's what they were there for.
She's a sugar baby.
Wow. So,
she's a pretty sugar baby.
Car is not putting in the letter of encouragement. Like, go for the sugar daddy thing. Like,
hey, and if you need help with that smile and them eyes to make your skin brighter, Kara, shameless plug yourself away.
That's right. You could come to me.
Excellent. All right, let's go to our next story. So I, 35-year-old female, escaped a 2-year relationship with an abusive sociopath, 47-year-old male. A little over a year ago, this man almost destroyed me. I escaped with barely a shred of my self-esteem left and with a hell of a lot of emotional baggage weighing me down. I vowed I could never risk a romantic, intimate connection ever again, and I meant it. So about a month ago, I met a guy at work. We had an instant connection, and the way I felt floored me. I was giddy like a teenager. I was still completely against the idea of a relationship of any kind, but felt so really at ease with him, I decided I would sleep with him.
Yeah.
Strictly just sex. Yeah. Well, being a predictable human being, after laying down the ground rules for a strictly friends with benefits arrangement, within a couple of weeks, he asked me to be his proper girlfriend, and I agreed.
Wow.
Almost immediately, I found myself full of anxiety, ugly thoughts, and worries over ridiculous tiny things. Complete head game. The damage my sociopathic ex did makes it impossible for me to function above the emotional level of a 6-year-old, apparently. So I called it off, explained, and he understood. He was pretty upset. We had the beginnings of something good. I suggested we go back to a casual arrangement without expectations or labels because the sex was amazing. I feel safe with him and we have fun together. I'm not sure if I'm delaying the inevitable problems my baggage will cause, but that's where I am right now. I'm so disappointed and angry after declaring myself out of the game and coming to peace with that I've discovered a glimpse of hope inside myself, which makes my inability to function normally incredibly frustrating. Do you think it's possible I will heal one day, or is a friends with benefits situation the best I can hope to achieve? Paul, I know you have a lot of work in the area of baggage and have a lot of thoughts on that. So I'm gonna start with you on this one.
Yeah. So the problem here is that she's done nothing to help herself heal. The only thing she's done is just accepted the fact that she's broken, and that's just what it is. So your question is, will I ever heal? And the answer is yes, if you walk down that path. However, you do have to start walking down the path towards healing if you want to heal. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, I've been hurt, I've been broken, I accept that I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So then at that point, you are letting that abusive relationship that you were in, you are letting that person still control your life, even though you have done what most people can't even do, which is get out of that situation. So now you're no longer physically in that situation, but you've allowed this person to take your mind and keep it in that situation. And so now you have to start working on healing yourself. Deal with it. Now, we were talking about therapy just a moment ago.
Right.
If therapy is where you need if therapy is the place that you need to go to start to heal from that troublesome situation that you were in, then start down that path. But you have to take active steps towards healing yourself if you want to be able to overcome what you took yourself out of, you physically took yourself out of it, but you left your mind back in the cage. Mm-hmm. So we got to go back and get your mind out. Mm-hmm. And so there's things that you need to do in regards to that.
So this is what I want to do. I want to go to Stacey and then I want to come back. Paul, can you give me like your top three steps, right? Because we say heal yourself, do something for yourself. But if you take a minute and think of like where does the person start? It's like if the person doesn't, maybe therapy isn't accessible to them. I want you to kind of think of like, what would you tell a person? You're sitting across from having a drink with one of your friends and they say the same story to you. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them to start to kind of start the healing process? But first, I want to hear Stacey's side of this. What are your thoughts, Stacey?
I think that one of the things that we do often, you know, as individuals is we try to fix things ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. we deal with something and we're like, okay, well, I'm just going to move on and I'm just going to pretend as if it never happened. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always work out that way. And this situation is a clear example of that. You were in a really, you know, messed up situation with a guy and you got out of it, which I'm so proud of you for doing because Amen. So many people stay. So kudos to you for leaving that, you know, really terrible situation. But you didn't really, you know, deal with the emotions that came after leaving that relationship. Mm-hmm. And so like Paul said, yes, it is possible for you to heal, but you do have to do the work. And sometimes it's okay to see someone for help. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not a therapist here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me put that disclaimer there.
Right.
I don't have any type of, degrees in, psychology or anything like that. But there are people that do. Mm-hmm. And I always strongly encourage, you to seek professional help because that's what they're there for.
Absolutely.
So I would say go and talk to someone and really deal with that. And if this is a guy, the guy that is the friend, with benefits, and you really like him and he's a really great guy, I would hate for you to completely, leave this situation because of this jerk.
You're
going to lose out on a really great guy because you dealt with a jerk.
And see, to the level of the, lose out on great guy, in the South, we have the saying that says, a bent sapling ain't gonna grow straight. Mm. So if she hasn't healed from this last thing, I'm questioning if the new guy is as great as she thinks he is. Or if this is just that wounded person that walked out of that last situation with this post-traumatic stress disorder mm-hmm. and is now just clinging on to something and just even whether he's actually great or not, we don't know. It's just a matter of he's just has a pulse.
Or he could just be better than what you had last time.
He's better, exactly. Yeah.
But the bar is set so
right.
low.
Right,
so low.
Exactly. We don't know, but go ahead, Cara.
You wanna weigh in on us?
Speaking from personal experience, being in that type of relationship, mm-hmm. I would definitely tell her to focus on her mental health because it is very hard to be in a relationship with somebody and you are mentally and physically getting abused mm-hmm. and then go jump to another relationship mm-hmm. because that was she getting.
Right.
Okay. So I would definitely focus on the mental health, but it takes time. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes years.
Oh, wow.
Of just working on the mental part of it, because even though physically you may not be in a relationship with them, mentally mm-hmm. you still are. And then they have that power over you. So you have to learn to release that power. But it takes a lot of time.
I hear you. Yeah. And so, Paul, I want to come back to you now, because I've heard people firsthand say to themselves, like, you know what? I can handle it myself. Mm-hmm. I'll just get over it. I'll be okay. What's your response to that? And then, what would you tell them? Or if you are going to go the DIY route yourself.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to redefine yourself mm-hmm. because a long period of time of dealing with someone who has imposed a view on you mm-hmm. from a negative aspect, like an abusive relationship, they've given you an identification. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find out, you think back to who you were prior to meeting that person and go through the exercise of how would I have described myself before I met this person? Find out who you were prior to that and redefine yourself, because someone else has defined you. And I guarantee you that definition that they've given you is very negative and it's going to impede on your life moving forward. Mm-hmm. So first, you got to redefine yourself. Second, you must experience your pain. Experiencing your pain is something that people fight tooth and nail to keep from doing, and it is very healthy. People mm-hmm. will try, oh my God, I'm about to cry. I'm not about to think about that. And they will bury it under 17 different layers of bullshit, and that stuff will resurface.
Absolutely.
at the drop of a dime, the second anything takes you back to that place.
It's like grieving.
Yes, yeah. It is. And you have to realize your pain, and it is a healthy part of the healing process. You need to accept the fact that you've been hurt. You have to accept the fact that you have to accept the parts of the situation that were your fault. And you have to accept the parts of the situation where you have been a victim and identify yourself with all of that and just accept the fact that you've been through some shit and just deal with it. Like, that was so messed up, and I was dumb for even staying there, and this hurts, and I'm just going to sit here and cry about it for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a time limit to grieve. Even in the Bible, let me get biblical with y'all for a minute.
All right, now.
Thank you.
Let's get the church organ.
Look. When Moses passed, there was a time for grieving. Mm-hmm. There was a time for you to acknowledge that your leader is gone. And when that time is over, it's time to move on. So allow yourself your time to grieve over what has happened to you. You have to acknowledge that, because if you want to bury that, you are going to relive it in some negative fashion. It's not going away.
It's going to resurface.
It's going to resurface. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's point blank period. It's there. It's like gray hair for somebody who ain't ready to get old yet.
Right.
All that dark and lovely is not going to keep it out there.
Keep putting that dye on it, but the second you cut that hair, it's going to grow back great.
There it is.
Accept it. So you have to redefine yourself. You have to experience your pain. And then you have to pick something about yourself to work on. Whatever it is, you need a project to focus your mind on, but not just some random project for work or something else. A project, it has to be selfish. It has to be about you. You need to pick something about yourself and improve it, whether it's your education, whether it's the way you look, whether it's anything. It doesn't matter, but pick something about yourself that could use some improvement and improve it, perfect it. Be proud of what you do to yourself, because those three things in tandem are the keys, the steps towards pulling yourself out of whatever downtrodden situation that somebody else put you in. Redefine yourself, pick something that you're going to improve upon, and experience the pain that somebody put you through, because you have to. There's no skipping that, because if you don't, that's bags that you're carrying on to your next relationship.
Absolutely. So Stacey, are your thoughts then that stay out of relationships at this point? She's off limits, or keep the friends with benefits? What are we thinking there?
I'm thinking, you know, continue to date him, but maybe not, you know, go into a relationship yet, because you're not ready, obviously. And you have to deal, like what Paul said, you have to deal with that pain. You have to deal with all of, you know, your emotions right now. And so maybe not go back into girlfriend, you know, status.
Sure.
But, you know, date, maybe not just focus on the sexual aspect of the relationship, but, you know, date them, you know, get to know them. And once you get to a point that you feel healthy, you know, enough where you're like, okay, this is someone I can be in a relationship with, then go for it.
Excellent. All right. So our last story for the evening. I got a new number and want to prank my girlfriend.
Yeah.
In the past, she has told me about exes that cheated on her and how that gave her trust issues. I decided to act like one. Then when she rejected him, I was going to keep going to piss her off.
Yeah.
Then later when I talked to her, I knew she would tell me about it and I would confess. That's how it was supposed to go down. But here's the conversation. Now, in this conversation, I'm him and her is my girlfriend. So him, hey, her, who is this? Really? My phone's memory was wiped last month. I lost a lot of context. I got a new number two, so it's okay. It's Tanner. Oh, hey, haha. I was like, shit, was this someone I got mad at and deleted their number? Laugh out loud. It's okay. How are you? I'm good. Barely surviving finals and getting college classes signed up and whatever. How about you? I'm good. Just working and stuff. I've been thinking about you. We should get together.
Yeah.
She says, well, when do you visit next? In a couple weeks. You're down? I'm down too. Good. So are you single? I miss you. She says, well, pretty much.
Ooh.
I miss you too. Surprisingly, winky face emoji. Now back to the story. To me, this is cheating. And evidence she would cheat. It sucks because I trusted her more than anyone. I moved to be closer to her and sacrificed a bunch of other stuff. I am very hurt. When I confronted her, I could tell in her voice she was guilty. She said she knew it. She knew it wasn't him, and I thought it was her friend playing a prank. I just don't see that. I see her talking to who she thinks is her ex. What should I do? What do you guys think? Stacey, let's start with you on this one.
Well, first of all, you just told a lie.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
You said that you trusted her, and you've trusted her more than anyone. No, you didn't.
Oh, good catch.
Because you
good
would catch. Not have even done this prank.
No. You can't prank if you trust.
Come on. Yeah. Paul, no, you and I pranks. Both know you were reaching with this one. You were trying to see what was happening. You threw that line out just to see what was going to happen. And yeah, she took the bait. And now you're over there upset. Okay. So you did not trust her. Let's just keep this real. You didn't. And that's why you did it. You had some type of intuition, some type of gut instinct feeling something that you were like, I'm going to do this prank and I'm going to see what she says. All right. And now you're over there salty because she did what you knew she was going to do. You were hoping, you know, you were hoping it wasn't going to happen, but you knew.
Bottom lip all the way out.
So now you know because you did it. It's no different than when you're going through. Okay, real quick. Someone told me this a long time ago, right?
Somebody must have told me.
Somebody else. A real wise woman once told me this. She said, don't go searching for something unless you want to find it.
Yes. Exactly. Lord, when the
preach.
Yes.
Preach. Okay.
Spirit's
so guess
moving.
What? You found it. So my question is, what you going to do?
What you going to do about that, dog?
That's my question for you. What are you going to do? Because you found it.
Sure did.
Oh, all right. Well, sure Paul, Stacey's throwing down the gauntlet. What do you got?
She did. Allow me to provide some old Negro spirituals. You shine the flashlight in the dark, you're going to see what's in the room. Mm-hmm. And so you put your flashlight on and you found out. You found out that that you somewhat in a relationship with your girl. Refer to the text one more time. What did she say? Sort of?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. You pretty much her boyfriend.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
You're pretty much laying the pipe. You're pretty much taking care of bills. You're pretty much in a relationship, but not really.
Oh, no.
He moved.
Let's go back to the text. The text said, are you single? And she said, pretty much. So she's pretty much single.
So what's the other end of that? You're pretty much single, that means you somewhat in a relationship.
I would say not much in a relationship at all. Right, you're pretty much
not much. Is that the term? Not much.
Not much.
So you not much laying the pipe. You not much paying the bills. You not much in a relationship.
But he moved to be closer to her.
From where though?
I mean, does it matter?
I mean, if you move from East Point to Southfield, I mean.
Still, moving is moving.
No, like, he moved.
He's invested.
So here's my thing. My man. It's not your fault. You like Stacey said. No, it's not.
Okay.
Stacey said he had an intuition. He wanted to call. He didn't know what to say. So he was like, "I'm gonna call it a prank. So I'm gonna label this intuition prank, and I'm gonna find out what my girl made of. Now you know what she's made of." All them hoish fabrics and materials that make up the one that you moved for. Mm. So what are we about to do about this? As Stacey said. Mm-hmm. So you know now, she can't take it back. Does it say in the text that he confronted her?
He confronted her.
And then she said.
She sounded guilty, but she thought it was another one of her friends who was pranking her. And
Fuck all that. All right. So don't. don't feed into that. You know, she's caught. Just like you a dude. You know what you would say if you got caught like that. You know, you're going to say the same thing. Oh, though my friends was pranking me. He pranked me. He pranked me all the time. She's caught. She was going to meet my mans. And you ain't even for real in a relationship. So at that point, do your thing, man. You know, I'm not saying you got to stop talking to her or anything like that. Just get yourself emotionally unattached. You know, do what you're going to do with her. Use her however you plan on using her for whatever purposes. Yeah, I'm Patty Pendergrass. I'm going there.
Okay.
But if you can't do that completely devoid of emotions and feelings, then leave that all together alone. But yes, to answer your question, sir. She was going to creep as soon as she was going to meet him at the airport with a flower in her hair.
Ooh.
So please get yourself out of the situation emotionally. However you need to. If you can still have your cake and eat it too and not be emotionally attached, do your thing. Pet the grass all day long.
Wow.
But she's not. She's probably already creeping with some other individuals as well. Like, you're not in a relationship. You saw how she labeled your relationship, somewhat.
Pretty much.
Pretty much single.
Yeah, pretty much single.
What do pretty much single women do on the weekend when she ain't with you? Pretty much anything.
Yeah. All right. See, I think the problem here, and then Kara, I'm going to go to you, but I just got to get to talk about this. I think where he got caught up in, and I'm guilty of this too. I've been down this road, brother, is you got too interested in who she used to bang and not excited enough that you're banging her now. Yeah. And what you should have did was rolled that ride out. Because clearly, if she's thought close, if she thought of you enough to make to be intimate with you, then you had a lane. Now, that lane might not have been the main lane, but you could have parlayed that into something more. And I think you overplayed your hand too soon. Wait. Maybe she's known that you know, maybe the conversation has been like, look, you know, we're there. We're starting out. This might be the first couple months of the relationship. The first couple months of us getting together. You're not in the friend zone.
Are you saying
a little different? You could have played your hand a little bit differently, but you got ahead of yourself, tried to test her on something, and she's like, look, we're not there yet. I'm pretty much single.
But, wait, are you saying that he should be happy that he's hitting?
Yes.
But he says that they're in a relationship, the bell?
Though. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They're in a relationship.
No, he's in a relationship.
Give me this. He's supposed to be happy that he's hitting. Really? Yes. That's what you just said.
Absolutely.
You said, look, you overplay. You're in a lane at least.
Right.
You're in a lane. Be thankful you get some coochie.
What lane does he have now? What lane does he have now? Now he's set up with 10.
A used lane.
Right.
You were always in a used lane.
But he thought he was in a committed relationship.
Yes.
See? Exactly. So there you go. So you thought you were in a committed relationship. You were wrong. Yeah. Your expectations were set. You weren't there. Now, what you could have done was say, all right, look, I'm with this woman. I think she's sexy. I think she's this. I think she's worth me moving. Let me go deeper and let me make sure it's solidified. And maybe you have the conversation by exclusivity.
But we don't know if they didn't have that conversation.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at it from other angles. Like, yeah, if you two were together and you were shopping for rings together and she pulled this on you, yeah, absolutely. You got to, you know.
I mean,
you gotta let it go. But if this was a situation where you just, you know, thought it was okay to prank her with her ex's number just because maybe you're just feeling some kind of way because she's still texting other people, and she's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm still kind of out here. I'm pretty much single." Like her saying, "Pretty much single." Let's take that as what that is the truth.
Let me make sure I understand you correct. You're saying that because she said I'm pretty much single means that. He's saying he's in a relationship, but he's not actually in one. That's just his side of the story. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I don't think that's the case.
Sure.
Because when he confronted her, she tried to play it off like, well, I thought blah, blah, blah. If that was the case, she would just be honest and say, well, we're not together. Anyway.
Exactly. Right. She would have pulled that card.
That's true. That's true.
What you just said, though, seriously, hold on. This needs to be addressed immediately, if not sooner.
Come with it.
Don't you sit there and tell no other person, male individual on this planet, that he need to be thankful because some woman decided to share her snatch with him.
If you're in a committed relationship, let me get some context. If you're in a relationship right now and your mind is always going back to who she used to be with and who she used to date, dude, you got to let that stuff go. Stop caring so much about who she used to bang and be happy she's banging you now. If you're Mr. Right Now, then the one thing you have that those other men never have is her.
No, I agree that you should not be insecure. Yeah. However, there were some trust issues here, obviously, or he wouldn't feel the need to be pranking.
Rachel, again, I'm conflating a little bit.
And it's
another
justified given the results of the prank.
Right.
So...
I mean, he wrote today, but we have her from Kara. Kara, what are your thoughts on this one?
Please. Well, I obviously think that the relationship is not what he thought it was.
Right.
But, you know, it's not something that I would have done. Because when you go looking for things, you will find it. And so now he's sitting there looking stupid.
Oh, she put an accent on his dumb ass. We've said multiple times, like, if you go looking for things, you will find them. But here's the thing, though. So if you don't go look for those things, are we saying that those things don't exist?
Hey, I don't like that terminology. Like Stacey said it many times. I think she got it tattooed on her lower back.
What, a tramp stamp?
Her tramp stamp says, seek. Her tramp stamp says, seek and ye shall find.
And right below it says sugardaddy.com.
But absolutely. You shouldn't just be checking into everything, like just allowing whatever insecurities you have to take over your life. You're never going to be happy that way. But at the same time, should we be victim shaming here? That's what we're doing.
My man, he's a victim.
My man went and decided to play a prank.
Yeah.
And based on that prank, he found out that he's somewhat in a relationship.
Yeah.
But is he to blame for this? Uh-oh.
He is not being honest, okay? This was not what's a he lying prank. About? What's he? This was a test.
Okay, fair exactly. enough. Oh. Tomato, tomato.
No, at the no, end of the very day. Different. Very different. Very different.
All right, so what I'm saying is, and women, chime in, please. Mm-hmm. You decide to go through my man's phone, you know, whatever. I haven't been paying attention to his interaction. I just want to give him the random check-in. I go through his phone, and I see a whole bunch of titties and ass, and he's liking it and loving it and setting up dates. If a man were to be like, well, what the hell were you going through my phone for? You would be like, oh, no, that don't come at me with that bullshit. Tell me about these titties and these asses. That's what you're going to focus on. So when my man right here is doing the exact same thing, but he's a man doing it instead of a woman, oh. he's playing prank. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or as Stacey's saying, he don't trust, so he's doing the equivalent of going through the phone.
Right.
And finds the titties in the ass. Mm-hmm. What's supposed to happen?
So he's supposed to deal
You're
with
that. You're victim shaming right
I'm
now.
I'm not victim shaming. All I'm saying is you went looking for it. You found it. Now what are you going to do about it?
Okay, and what he need to do is bounce his ass.
Exactly.
Just get up out of there.
Because she's clearly not that into you. Yeah.
So consider yourself lucky then.
She's pretty,
in this
much,
case.
Right. She's pretty much not that into you.
Pretty much.
But Paul, all right, but your advice, like, go straight savage mode. Use her for whatever you want to use her for and be underway.
No, hold on. If you can. Everybody right. can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
How about we not encourage being savage? I'm just saying.
I mean, you are my honest.
Oh, every
responses
time.
You want my professional opinion.
I want the real deal.
Okay, my professional opinion is you're in a bad situation. You need to leave that and improve yourself. That's my professional situation. Right. Yes.
I want the savage.
However, Patty Pendergrass says if you are able to disconnect yourself emotionally and still interact physically, then use her up until she resembles that of a California raisin.
Wow.
Ooh, and then progress on to your next endeavor. Sow your royal oats. But
And then get her pregnant, and then now you're together for 18 years.
Did I say roll up? I said use her.
Just because you went and shot the club up. Now all of a sudden.
Leave her alone.
I never said that.
Just leave her alone.
Leave her alone from the same people who didn't want you to press charges to get your money back for your fish.
Gosh. For those of you who don't know, episode 18
check it out.
has a great fish story that you just would not believe. All right, so let's go around.
Want my money?
Let's do our final word for this one. Stacey, what's your final word for this young man?
My final word is, okay, now you know what you're dealing with here. And so you have some decisions to make. Either you're going to, you know, work through this and you're going to resolve whatever issues you may have that she's around here thinking that she's pretty much single, or you're going to let her go. I would say let her go because your trust is obviously broken.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So Paul, what's your thoughts on this?
Look, I think it was the last episode where Stacey decided to resurrect Maya Angelou and said that if someone shows you who they are, believe them. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Man, she showed you on the Times Square billboard. Believe that shit. She's pretty much single and you pretty much got a sunk ship. So let it go and move on.
Awesome. Carrie, want to add anything to this or?
I would definitely tell him to move on because it sounds like she was waiting for her ex.
Very true.
It's like she's just with him until the one she wants is available.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, let her go do what she wants to do.
Tanner? Yeah, Tanner.
Is that you? Tanner's the one she'd be waking up crying about in the midnight hour.
Check out episode 18, guys, for that reference.
Another good one. All right, so I guess my final thought on this, like, look, just because you're paranoid doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. Sometimes there's a reason why you have a feeling these things are going on. You got to follow that feeling, and sometimes you have to realize if you open that door, you got to accept what walks out of it. Mm-hmm. So, thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. We have one more episode for this season, so make sure you tune in 2 Wednesdays. Talk to you soon.